All right, I'm going to call the meeting of the Sheffield Select Board, May 13, 2026, meeting to order at, looks like 6 p.m. exact now. Thank you all for arranging to come tonight. Obviously, last week we had to postpone due to some illness and other things, so glad to see a pretty full house. All right.
Okay, so additions, deletions, amendments, we're just amending Max is going to be in the executive session.
Okay.
That's all that I have for that.
Yeah, that's per discussion on that. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So just to start off, so delinquent taxes this month were down to $32,505.46. But since the 1st, we've had a fair amount of payments, so June 1st number will be very nice.
All right. And we did have the one sale go through, or at least the start of.
No, we had one of them, a foreclosure auction came through.
Okay,
and that came through as well.
So that was all set. And then we're still a few weeks out from the end of the tax sale, so we don't have that done yet. But we've got, like, I made some calls over the last month, so we had a couple of people call in and pay their taxes.
Very good.
Okay, so then another simple one. We have the annual financial plan for the town highway. You go over this with Logan, so it's all set. It just needs date and signature on this page. And then this is the certificate of compliance, basically saying, you know, Max is doing what he's supposed to be doing. Do you want to explain it a little better?
It's an annual.
It's an annual.
The annual financial plan is.
Is in, oh, so sorry, that's the signature page.
Okay.
The financial plan.
The signature page is for the changes made to the specifications, highway specs. They made a couple of small changes to clarify a few issues that they were seeing out on the roads.
Okay.
So on the page under your right hand, that's the signature page for the financial plan, and then there's a place to sign underneath.
And Logan, must be from the state that you go.
Is that, that's going to be for each of us, right? On both?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
And then you'll be up with your update on that.
Pin drop in this place.
I know.
Right?
Well, I was just tapping my pen, which I tend to do, and I was like, that's all you're going to hear,
maybe.
And the recording is tap.
It's Morse code for help.
Right. All right, so I guess while we're finishing the signatures, so the Red Dam property finally has gone through, went to the conservancy, it was 10 acres. So we did get the filing fees as well as the $10,000 check for the purchase price. So that was kind of one of those unexpecteds that I don't think was on the budget. So, so Max, don't get any ideas about the highway.
Don't worry,
fund?
I've already talked to him.
Okay.
He doesn't get to spend that.
Okay, perfect.
He's already having issues with his budget. He doesn't get to spend it.
Yeah,
is this the town's lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that 10 acre, that landlocked parcel that was up on Duck Pond, like out in the middle of the woods.
The gentleman wanted to tap and pay us for tapping. Yes, $1.25.
When was that?
Per tap.
When was that?
It's been in the works. For
like 1995?
Been in the works for like 3 years. He didn't actually expand onto that property.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name is right now.
It's free money,
it's
though.
The guy
yeah.
That owned Gray Paving.
So oh, Mark Gray? Mark Gray?
Mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
first we knew about it.
He was going to lease the property. And we had a few meetings, and he didn't get that done that year. We haven't heard from him since.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because nothing came up. Cause we've discussed selling it, I think, twice now. And this is.
And we had a notice in the paper.
Right. So it went out. So, but either way, it has been officially sold. So that's off of the vacant books and onto the tax rolls. So.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing is it gets that 10 acres back on the tax. On
not
the property
that there's
tax.
Much for it, but.
Very
line.
Good day.
Yeah.
Very good day.
But especially because it's not like anybody could use it except Red Dam.
That's true.
Right.
Because it was landlocked.
It's because
right.
It's landlocked. It's literally out in the middle of the woods, like way up past the wind towers. Like it's.
In the weeds.
In the weeds.
Okay. All right, so with the food shelf, obviously Terry had set up a grant for the electricity upgrade, which we'd initially set go ahead with. And then we've been trying to get some stuff off of the shelf, or not the shelf, the stage itself, which I know you guys have done a great job with.
Yep, we also, we've upgraded and we had a cleaning session. We got two more shelves up there. I actually got pictures if you guys want to look at it.
Probably good to see.
This is what it would look like without all the trolleys and the coolers. And without us moving our canned goods downstairs and just leaving the shelving up there, it has the, it only takes like 12 inches, 16 inches from the wall and flush to the wall. That's it.
Nice.
We could leave our canned goods up. There'd be no, I mean, it would be so hard for us to unload the truck and load everything upstairs every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. I mean, to get all that canned stuff upstairs and downstairs. That's the only space that would be used of that. If we mm-hmm. would be willing to storage the trolleys, the coolers,
mm-hmm.
and stuff downstairs, that'd be no problem. We could bring that up weekly. We've talked to you about the freezers and the
yep.
fridge, really getting it upright. They've talked about not putting it up on the stage to putting it downstairs.
Right.
Which solves the weight on the stage and all that stuff too.
Right, that was
so
definitely
that would
big.
Be great. There would be no way that we could distribute through downstairs because of the if we had an emergency, it would be a way for the elderly and the handicapped to get out from the basement because the elevator we were told that was for freight, not for people.
No, it's the other way around.
Because of the safety reason, something about the safety, it's not, can't be used for abundance of people to go up and down.
Well, it's supposed to be basically a person and a caretaker. It's not a freight elevator.
Right. Well, they told us we couldn't use it for people, only could use it to transport stuff up and downstairs. So I guess we were told wrong.
Yes, definitely, because it's, that's what that's in place for, is for handicaps.
We were told the opposite, or it's for people.
So, yeah, no, it's a...
Because that's what Sarah, when we were there, when I took it over from Sarah.
Okay.
So I've only been told from what Sarah told me.
Gotcha.
And Sarah told me that it was not safe for people, that it was only safe to transport carts up and down. That's it.
Gotcha.
So that's the only thing we've been using it for. We don't use people because we haven't been using it for people. It wasn't safe for people.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
so
what it
I'm
is.
I'm really glad I came today.
Yes, that's exactly what it's there
so
for.
So, yeah. And we have the people that we have, that elevator would be going from 11 o'clock when we opened until 1 o'clock when we closed. The elevator would be going up and down, up and down. And each person that comes through there gets two boxes or two bags apiece. And each of those boxes and bags can weigh from 25 pounds to 50 pounds apiece. So those have to come up and down to be taken to their vehicles because there's no other way to do that unless you go out the back door. And that back door is not safe to be even walking in and out of it with anything. Because
okay.
of the stairs. So that would not work. Yeah, I know. For us to distribute from downstairs.
Because I think Terry was talking about potentially putting another freezer, and you're saying upright over there by that rear entrance.
Mm-hmm.
The only concern that I had, and I let Terry know, especially prior to having the meeting down here and meeting with my counterparts, is just making sure that we're not cutting down on that egress route. Because I've been down there a couple of times, and I know sometimes the carts get stacked in that hallway, and we have to keep that open because it's both for ADA compliance as well as an emergency egress route. Because there's a freezer in the kitchen too that is now blocking part of that doorway out, which may wind up having to be moved. So those are just a couple things we need to look into in regards to what the law states.
Right.
So I would like to get Shane down there from the fire department to take a look with me to make sure that we are good to go before we, I think, step forward with any of the electrical upgrades personally on that end.
Okay.
So I don't know if...
How bad are the stairs?
For, what do you mean, pull out?
Yeah, you said the stairs weren't able to be used because...
There's close to 14 inches, a 14 inch step there.
Trying to get out, step over the threshold. And the outside, when you come out the back door, like you come out and then there's this like cement thing that goes like this.
There's no pad.
There's no pad or anything like that to come out of the stairs. It would have to be... You can't. If it was an emergency, you trip over it for people to get out. It's not safe at all.
I just worry about the elevator going up and down nonstop for 2 hours.
Right.
How long is it going to last?
You know.
So the door that comes in from the basement on the right, you have the door that's by the ADA bathroom, and then there's the door that's on the right. That is two steps to the floor, and they're regular steps.
Regular trends. Okay.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be a ramp for emergency? Handicap access.
And there could be.
That might be something we need to absolutely look into.
Right.
That was going to be my question.
Now, which not.
Like, what can we do to make
it
more accessible?
So there's a ramp from the state, like from the.
It needs a ramp with a little bit of a platform. So
right. You have to have a ramp. You have to have a platform every 4 feet. Yeah. But for every inch of rise, it has to be a foot of length for ADA compliance. So the ramp, if it's 14 inches, the ramp's going to be 18
so
feet
on
long,
the,
essentially, because you have to have the 4 foot platform.
That's a bit much.
On the right side, it's the grass is level with the door, and then there's one step, like onto a wood step, and then down to the floor. It can't be. Probably it's probably less than 14 inches from this from the.
I'd have to look at it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the jamb of the door to the concrete on the floor in the basement.
Sorry,
I was just going to say, I haven't been in that other side of the basement in a long time, but I remember having, you know, gym class there as a child, and there was a pipe that ran along the floor on the other side. Is that pipe still there?
It's still there.
And that's something we're looking into as well, trying to move the sink, get rid of the dishwashing sink that's over there, the pot sink, and then moving that over to where the other one is, so that way we can get rid of that completely too. So get rid of that trip hazard. Or mop bucket.
But that is the side of the other
speed
doors.
Bump. Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So I was able to get over there during one of the food shelf distributions, and it was nice to see the setup, the amount of volunteers you have, and the amount of service that was going on. But I would certainly like to invite the both of you as well to potentially try and get over there. I know, obviously, weekday, it's hard to hard to get out.
What are the hours, though?
It's every second and fourth Wednesday from 11:30 to 12:30.
The volunteers are there a lot earlier.
Yeah, we're there. I get there at 8:30 to start setting up and stuff. And I leave usually by 12:45. But if you guys want to come over, just let me know and I can meet you there anytime. But those are our hours of operation. 90% of our clientele are elderly and disabled, so that's a really big thing about moving it downstairs, how hard it would be with just one elevator and access to emergency get help is my biggest concern. If we have 40 people downstairs, how are we going to get them out real in a hurry?
Right, and that's where especially having been here with the contracting experience, that's good to take a look at as well.
And
so
my other biggest concern was taking all that stuff downstairs and bring the canned good stuff because most of my volunteers are elderly and disabled. 90% of my volunteers, elderly and disabled.
Is there a way to get to the back door from like behind? Like, can you drive a car up to the back of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you access that from a side road?
So you go down Sheldon Farm Road and then there's the parking in the back.
Right.
Okay.
We could unload a truck down there. I mean, that would be no problem doing it that way.
That'd be plowed out in the winter.
Yeah,
right. That can be arranged easily
enough.
That
can be fine.
There's a septic tank.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We got a cone over top of that so nobody...
But where's the leach field?
Nobody...
Where's the leach field?
The river. Mm-hmm. Toward the building. Probably. That's there. That's going to
probably.
Should be a cone over top of the...
I will tell you, we've been driving on it
a
lot more than twice a month for years. Because when we do all the dinners and all the events, we all park back there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have the shed down there, back there too, that could also be, we can consider taking down the field day shed. So I believe it is empty.
From what I know, there's some things in it, but it's also, like I talked to Megan about it, and she said that it's not anything that they're keeping
grills,
because of the field day. So it's
grills and fryers and stuff like that. Tents maybe.
Well, we could take a look at it too, because that's another potential parking area. So.
And then we got permission to park our handicap in Darlene's parking.
Okay.
In her parking lot cart. And we talked to her about selling it and she said yes. But that was the last time we talked to her about it. But that was a while ago. So she's willing now to sell it. We just got to get a hold of her to...
Between us, we've left several messages from the town and no call back from her yet. So.
Yeah, I'll try to get a hold of her again. Try to get her butt moving to get a hold of you guys to do it. Because the food pantry also... offered to buy it from her or somehow get hold of her to turn it into a parking lot, part of our stuff too. So, and now she's willing, because she's living at Benton Smiley's trailer now, so I think she's willing to finally let go of it.
It would be nice to have a parking area there.
Mm-hmm. She said it wouldn't be an overnight thing, but
because
it's her childhood house, so. It'll take a minute to get out of it, I'm sure.
Well, we wouldn't be able to do anything on that until after town meeting anyway, so definitely have through at least March to...
Yeah, and so then, I'll try to
think about it.
Yes. So, all right, so basically I know the issue that Terry was approaching was getting that electricity set up, but like I said, I'd just like to postpone putting any extra power anywhere until we can make sure that we're within code on both routes of egress and ADA compliance. That's, like I said, those are my only concerns on getting any extra electricity in, especially since we've already voted to say go ahead with it.
I agree.
So
do it once and do it right.
Right.
We're going to wait a little bit. We'll wait a little
absolutely,
bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
I think we all agree the electricity is needed, so it's just a matter of making sure everything's okay.
It's in the right spot.
Yeah.
So we'll have to take the time. We'll probably have to do another warned meeting, but to get over there as a board, I think to see everything firsthand and then be able to, because it, you know, pictures are great, but I think seeing it all come together makes it a lot easier.
This is
to,
helpful though.
Right. So. All right. So I think we're on to the community input and committee setup for work on blighted property ordinance.
Yeah,
all right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. If you guys want to take off, feel free. We'll hold off for 1 second here, so that way the exodus of half.
Do you have any more questions, or you guys need anything from me? Just let me know.
We'll do. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
All right, thank you guys
very
much.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so with the committee setup, would you like to kick us off, or?
So, I think where we had left this, my understanding is that you were going to schedule a meeting to set up sort of an initial scope and next steps kind of a thing. And Al Robertson, I know, would like to be on that committee. And
he should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Very quick.
That was quick.
Is anybody else interested in being on it?
Biff is raising his hand.
I'll bother. That's fine.
Yeah. So okay. Here's a question.
Just gotta let me know. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I guess my question about this is, I'd be totally happy to like set up a meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure how this works as far as, you know, it being a public meeting and like, is this something where like we have to take meeting minutes and is this open to the public and like, what are, I feel like.
So my understanding would be, it's kind of like how you worked on the town plan. Mm-hmm. Like you can have a meeting and put an agenda out for people to attend if you would like, if they would like to attend. But that wouldn't stop the work you would want to do. But obviously as we get close, like we did with the town plan, as you get close to having any kind of actual ordinance, there would have to be meetings that would be definitely warned meetings, right, in the paper for people, mm-hmm, to come and give their input on it, mm-hmm, before we could make a final draft and present it at town meeting for voter approval. Kind of like how we did with the town plan.
Yeah, but I think there's also, isn't there a structure that we can set up where this is a working group? That it's not a committee, it's not something that has a legal bearing, but it's more for us to get our ideas together, and then you can go with the more
You can have a working group, and then as you get closer to starting to have drafts that need to be in a warned meeting, then you can go with that, because I would imagine in the beginning it's going to be a lot of, you know, like have an attorney, you know, like, mm-hmm. My big thing, like Al said, it would be finding an attorney that kind of specialized in this, so they would work with the group, kind of like Jesse did with the town plan.
Well, and I also think in the kickoff meeting, we would just be trying to scope out what our work is, what do we need the attorney for. Mm-hmm. We do want to bring the attorney in very early, but I think for us to just have an initial meeting to say, what are we trying to do here?
Yeah, to try and get the volunteers.
So you know what your bullet points are to what you
want
to do.
Yeah, that is just like, that's not like a public meeting. It doesn't have to be warned, none of that. It's just like a working group.
So like kind of like your group, you have the subcommittee that goes for the town hall.
If the two of you decided to go on the same night, because you have a quorum.
If there's too many of you together, then we have to warn it.
Yeah, but there's going to be
just, I don't like
not you, if there's
the three of us.
Yeah, but also if we had too many of the planning commission, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah,
right.
But planning commission has different rules on that.
It's still open meeting law as far as the number of people.
I have to look into that because the select board and other committees in town have different rules.
It's a I think it's like a governing body.
Well, it's an advisory versus a non-advisory. You guys are a non-advisory body, so you actually can vote on money and ordinances and things like that. We can't do that. We're just an advisory group.
Which is why probably we'd have to just one of us on them.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Sorry to.
I resigned already.
Oh, darn.
But in all seriousness, though, it sounds like a lot of towns in the state are trying to accomplish the same thing that we are, and it's not just us. So, me and my harebrained ideas driving around as I do. I don't know if there's anybody at the state we can talk to.
Oh, I would imagine.
Instead of trying to reinvent the wheel with all the different towns, maybe kind of get the state to, all right, this is what you guys can do, and they pick up the tab for the lawyer and stuff, and then if they did it for every, you know, any town that has something to do with it, so say it's 40 towns, you know, maybe all work together and try to get going with what you're trying to do and then adapt from there, so you're not starting from scratch on every one, just to amend it. Like, you know, you sent a few things from a few different towns, somebody else.
That's what I was just going to bring up.
One of those
is Vermont's League of Cities and Towns, and they have a template. So they would be a resource that we can use to
forget, if you could swing to see if Garrett would like to join this committee. He is the senior staff attorney for the VLCT, and he's a Sheffield resident.
Would he be allowed to? Would that be a conflict?
That I don't know. He, but I, so I don't know what, but
well, he was on the planning commission before.
You could always give him a jingle and find out.
But just try to
welcome information.
Try to start.
You probably couldn't represent the group.
Idea what you're doing and then adapt it.
Right.
But he could pick his brain.
Could you do the template you sent?
I did. I've got it. And that I think it's printed out in this thing.
Because I think that's like a great place to
start. Yeah, it's an excellent place to start.
Yeah.
And then you just, like you said, adapt it to what.
Yeah, what we're trying to do.
So what I could do is I could send an email out with all with the four of you on it. So that Kate, it gives you everybody's email, and then you guys can discuss amongst yourselves, and then let everybody else know what you want to do.
Yeah, because my big thing was we rushed through a lot of stuff in April because we had the second meeting to go to. So I just want to make sure we had enough time in the board meeting to make sure that we had everything was able to come out. So I don't like to rush things too much.
Well, this is a pretty thorny issue, but I think we've done a little digging ahead of time, and I think we're in a good spot to kind of call that initial meeting and scope out what we want to do, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, even if it takes a year, things have been messed up for this long. What's another year?
Or two, even. You know, it's...
But like, we've been going through belated properties for like the last 100 years. I think we can work on it over the next couple years.
Well, I mean,
the town plan took 2 years, for goodness sake, so I imagine...
Yeah.
Well, I know about a resident on a road over here that was complaining about a neighboring property and how they had concerns that there maybe even be like trash blocking a culvert now.
Yeah.
Because it's so bad.
Well, and one of the things I appreciated too is
an excavator.
But if there's a culvert being blocked, then we need to let Max know.
Yeah.
I think that's coming up tomorrow.
Okay. So Max, there's a blocked culvert over there.
You might know somebody that's probably bringing that to your attention tomorrow.
You could probably tell him too.
Well, that's probably where I'm getting my information from.
Well, I also appreciate the fact that in the initial set of information that we pulled together that you're looking at derelict properties, which I think is a good place to start that isn't going to get us into some of the issues that came up during the planning process as potential.
Yeah, because derelict property is a lot easier to deal with than a property that is a residence.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
much easier.
And that could help us kind of get our lay of the land and start the process.
Get the feet wet.
And as far as attorneys go, like I think the town's worked with like Carolyn Grace before. She could probably handle something like this.
Well, see, Hannah Trudeau is our town attorney who works with Ginsburg and Greaves.
Okay.
All right, anything further on the blighted property?
Okay, so the game plan is you're going to send an email.
Also, on Friday, I'll send an email out so that that way the four of you will have, you know, obviously I'll include Al, the four of you will have each other's contact, and then you guys can coordinate with each other so that we aren't the middleman, and then you just let us know what, if you need, I would say unless I'm going to be here, you'd have to use the town hall.
Yeah,
but you have a key,
and
just whatever day you decide, just let me know so I can put it on the calendar. That way, we don't rent it or anything else.
Can you give me a quick definition of what blighted property is?
So basically, we're looking at both derelict, as in, you know, nobody's residing there. There's a couple of examples right on this road here that we could look at, and that's part of the problem, right? Deciding what we are going to use as a definition for blighted.
Okay.
You know, whether it is the accumulation of trash and being a health issue, or whether it is something where the property has been run down to the point where it's bringing down a neighboring property's values. So,
or it's a safety issue.
And that's the health and safety.
I mean, like
so,
the Keithens property next to Pat O'Hagan's, that's starting to cave in.
Yes,
that's rough.
And it's not 10 feet from the road.
Right.
So, I mean, it could get to the point where that becomes more of a safety issue with potentially parts of it falling into the road.
Right, and that's
and
what we're talking with it.
From what I know, that property is like full of asbestos.
Lovely.
Yeah, I bring that up because 2 doors down for me is a virtual junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just the clutter of everything.
Right, and that's...
And we have a bunch
of
property.
That's what we have to tell. You know, we have to be very careful because obviously, you know, we don't want to bring in zoning.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, we don't want to affect neighboring properties with values.
And you don't want no zoning.
Yeah, and we don't want zoning.
And we don't want rats and, you know, bears. Like, we have a property going up to our house. You can see that it's had a ton of bear activity.
Oh, really?
Because the trash is just being thrown in feed bags out into a pile in the yard.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So that's a problem for everybody.
And that's a continuing thing.
Right.
Right.
It's just a one-time matter.
But I think part of what I was trying to say is the derelict properties are probably the easiest way to get buy-in as far as community support.
Right, yeah. Like the one next to Pat Hayes' house there, that one especially.
Or the burnt-out property
with
these two over here, you know.
Yeah.
Or like even Lisa Cushman's property, that's pretty derelict and empty.
I know we have a health officer in town.
Tony Wilder.
Yeah, so how does that work with all of this?
Good question. it's never been answered as far as I know.
So we can let him, like, for example, we have had properties that he's looked at because of getting information of maybe a camper's there that's having sewage dumped out on the ground. We can ask him to check into places where, you know, you could stand in places and watch rats go in and out of a porch because the trash is stacked up. Like, that becomes a health hazard. So he has the authority to go in and have discussions with people and inspect things to make sure they are, like, not sewage out on the ground type.
I will add, when you call him, he does go check them out.
Like, he does. He's very attentive about it.
Yeah.
Does he submit a written report of his activities?
That I don't
know. To us. He may have to do that to the health department.
Okay.
Though we appoint him, he, in essence, is like an arm of the health department.
So has he ever done an assessment of what needs addressing throughout the town?
He does drive around to
properties. Okay. Oh, nothing's ever presented to the boards?
No,
not that we know of. Now, he did handle the school
because
they had a very large rat problem at the school. Mm-hmm. And that was addressed, and the school was forced to hire exterminators and handle the entire thing.
Right.
He's really good if we call him. Usually he will go right out that day usually and checks things out. So
yeah.
I just didn't know if he had any teeth to do anything.
Right. He has some teeth. And I mean, if we want to find out more about what he has in his arsenal, I can absolutely ask him to join us at some point. Or you guys in your subcommittee can ask him to join
us. Yeah, that would be
like I said, he's very attentive and willing to answer questions and address what we need addressed.
So how far would we be stretching if you said, going along with the health thing, like, you know, the burnt out place over there that's half fallen in, is that a health hazard? Just if somebody goes in there, the thing caves in on them or something? I know it says no trespassing and stuff, but at the same time,
that would probably be a question for Tony.
But you know what I'm saying.
I totally know what you're saying. It's kind of the same thing with the Keithens is,
right.
That has the roof is caving in. Yep. I mean, anybody, you know, kids could be out for a good time, I guess, and go in through the front door and then fall through the floor into the basement.
Or heavy snow load pushes it.
Yeah, that's more of a safety hazard.
So it's almost like
So I would say places can get condemned, but I don't think that's a health department thing. I'm trying to think of what department.
Sometimes they go together.
Yeah, but there's a department of the state that does that. Is that
fire marshal?
Maybe the fire marshal.
That might be.
So there's the potential that you could go, there
that
could be
well.
Some things that can go that route as well.
Has the town ever paid for, that anybody knows of, because I don't know the history of it not being involved in all these different boards, but has the town ever paid for, like, assistance with people cleaning up their properties?
No.
Not that I'm aware of,
no. I thought we paid for dumpsters for... Can we get a dumpster for them? Was it 2 or 3 years ago? And one for Bly's?
Oh, we did?
Yes.
Bly's on Chesterfield Hollow, not Chesterfield Hollow, was it Clifford Field Road? And then the two trailers right down here, the Francis's, we paid for a dumpster for that.
We did.
How long ago was that? Definitely not 2 or 3 years ago.
Maybe it was five. I don't know. Time gets away from me.
Yeah, 5 or 7 years ago.
The worst part was those dumpsters were full and you couldn't even tell that anything was done.
Oh,
right?
Wow. So Blaze
with a loader and crushed them down so they have more room, and they still didn't dent either of the property.
Right.
How was that paid for?
Yeah.
General fund, I guess.
And you're thinking 5 to 7 years ago, because I might be able to find out the wording on how that was done in select board minutes. But you're thinking 5 to 7 years? Because I'll have to look at every set of minutes for those 2 years.
It was when...
Was Kathy still here?
Mark was still alive. Mark Francis, no.
Oh, Mark Francis was... We could probably pull his death certificate. To find out how... Alive. At least to get a starting point.
Yeah, so it was probably more than 5 years ago then. I don't know.
Yeah, because nobody's lived on that...
For 3 years.
Or more. Longer than that.
I don't know.
Because we, remember, Felicia and I've been the town clerk for 3 years.
So, yeah, it's been a while.
Okay.
Well, do you remember who was on the board with you when it happened?
I do.
Who? Mark. That will help me narrow it down.
And Audrey.
Oh, I was going to say, that's been a while, because Audrey died 5 years ago?
At least.
Probably about that.
And we were struggling with how to handle these properties back then. It is a hard thing.
That actually helps narrow it down, because I don't think Audrey was on the board for a super long time.
Would it be easier to go on your computer and look for like Austin's trash removal or something to see?
Just do a word search.
It would depend on what service they use, because we use a lot of different services. So, yes, I could go in and find out what service we do, and then I'd have to go and find all the bills.
No.
And find out what the bills were for.
So,
if it was more than 7 years ago, we won't even have the bill.
Fair.
So, that's why minutes might be
faster. Yeah, that's why I'm thinking. So, now that you have...
Because I would imagine you had to approve it at a select board meeting. So, yeah, I'll try to find it in the minutes.
And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good idea. Or a fair idea to other residents,
but it might be something on the table.
If it had something well, had happened in the past, and
I wouldn't be opposed to paying $500 or $1,000 to clean up a few places that we drive by every day, and I'm sure a lot of other residents.
Well, okay, so let's just put this in perspective. So a dumpster from Casella just to get it here is $320.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then it's $119 a ton.
And that's cheaper than going to the transfer station at $212 a ton.
No, the transfer station is $119 a ton.
Not in St. J.
Oh, well, yeah, but our transfer station is on
the I don't have that capacity.
Oh, yeah, because you get the contractor.
Yeah. Go down and see my buddy Victor.
This idea of helping or having some kind of a community fund to assist residents who want to clean up but don't have the resources to do so has came up during the planning process.
Yes, kind of like
I would say, and I know that
in-house grant type of thing.
Yeah,
I know
that
Sally had brought up helping people, but then putting a lien on the property so the town would get reimbursed for the help.
Yeah.
So there are things that we can consider once we move past the derelict properties, but I think it's the those become more and more thorny, like the more you get people
the
involved.
Further you get away
funding and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think it'll definitely be a great test case to just see what we can do with the simplest.
Right.
What about tax write-offs for local small businesses? What about getting the local small businesses to come do cleanups?
I'm
saying we have X amount of hours involved in whatever the cleanup is, and it's just like donate to a nonprofit.
I think the only problem with that is that the state controls taxes. We have obviously have the town tax, but that's just going to be property. It's not going to have business tax on top of, unless we decide to levy a business tax, I guess, and then decide.
And we're not going to do that.
And I don't see us going that route.
Like even a gift receipt,
but
like for services donated to the town,
there's
a gift receipt for that.
I would say, that's a.
That would be a
possibility, but that's
taxes thing, because we don't pay taxes. We're tax exempt, but we're not a 501(c). Tax exempt because we're a municipality. So that would be a Department of Taxes question if we would even be legally allowed to give something like that to a local business.
I like the thought though. If somebody's willing to contribute time and.
Yeah. If they're a resident, Sheffield resident, and they drive by the same issued properties every single day, and think, man, what can I do to?
Right.
I would be happy to donate my dump trailer and my time to take something down to the dump if somebody wanted to.
Yep.
Well, it's kind of like we've talked a lot about.
Exactly.
Get some of these churches involved too.
Mm-hmm.
They're always or should be always wanting community service projects. Say we got trailers donated, we just need hands to throw stuff.
We have to also be aware of liability issues, though, in some of these properties as far as safety is concerned.
Go there before we start volunteering the church.
I volunteer my people.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely, I think we've got a good starting point today.
She's right with the liability, though. You get in there, pick up a bunch of stuff, and where did this go? Or you guys damaged this? Or
heaven forbid, somebody
falls through, there's injuries for people. You have a high school student from the that is doing their community service, and they...
Or you're exposed to lead paint or stuff.
Right.
Right.
Like, no, it's one of those things, right? There's a balancing act that we're going to have to follow, which is why getting the attorney on board too wouldn't hurt. So especially if some of these ideas come up, and then they're quick to say, just because, let's face it, attorneys are good at pointing out liability.
And that's why I said, I don't know if Garrett is even allowed to, but... You know, kind of my thought, he's a community member, mm-hmm. so this directly affects him. Maybe if he's allowed to, he might just donate time instead of the town paying $400 an hour for Carolyn to be here for 4 hours every other week.
$400.
So, like I said, I don't know if he's, through his, because he's VLCT, if he's even allowed to offer that help. But, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to ask.
Well, I mean, like I said, when I was on the Planning Commission, he was elected the same year. So, to be on the commission. So, and he was very knowledgeable. And it was great because we'd have
questions. And I know we in town meeting, we always ask him questions because he knows all.
He's the
subject matter secretary.
An expert there. So.
Erica,
go ahead.
I do have a contact for him.
Okay.
No, I just want
you can also call 1-800-VLCT.
Okay. I just want you to double check on the open meeting law for the Planning Commission because we're gonna if we have three people on there, I'm concerned about that.
How much of a call for you?
Three.
I would say we can also pose that question to Garrett through the
because that's a VLCT question.
AskGarrettQuestions.com.
Yes.
I was trying to think about the open meeting law training I had, but I'm like, I just don't quite remember.
I remember.
There are different.
Yeah.
Because I have a group thing with the other town clerks, and they were talking about open meeting law, and that the listers meeting and the planning commission meeting, it's different.
Yeah, because
it's applied differently than the select board.
Because
the
we're an advisory board.
Yeah,
right. It's true. But I still think if we have a quorum and we're making decisions, that might be an issue.
Well, you're not going to be making any
decisions. In my estimation, being an old Mustang land, every meeting should be open. There shouldn't be anything. Where the public is not invited,
mm-hmm.
they don't know about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's true, but at the same time, you have to get stuff done. If 15 people show up to this meeting and everybody wants to have their input,
that's the price you pay.
Well, I feel
like be on the chair of of that panel to basically just either stop comments altogether, or maybe two minutes per person.
I mean, Carolyn would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that this preliminary meeting. Working meeting, I think we probably would move pretty rapidly.
I think
we're
so
doing a warned a public meeting.
Yeah.
This is just for us to get our act together.
This is a brainstorm session.
Right. It's not even a meeting. We're just brainstorming on what we need to do to get our act together.
Yeah. Exactly. This is the organization set up.
Right.
It doesn't really help to have people come in and have a bunch of opinions when we're not even clear on what we're trying to do.
Right.
So, I mean, that... Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to get the steering first.
The agenda pretty much controls what can be discussed, so just as it is here.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wants
we will rapidly move in that direction, I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you participate, because you'll prat us, right?
Really? Let's get back on track. Okay, so let's get back on track.
So, perfect. Right. Anything else on the...
Yeah.
On the blighted?
No, continue on.
Okay, so the next one is discussion of updating the town ordinances. So we had to finally write an animal control ticket a month and a half ago for some dogs. They're having an owner that's having some trouble keeping them. And we are looking at the animal control ordinance and seeing that if we had to say... take somebody's dog and board them, it's $5 a day because the
$3
a day. Because if I remember correctly, the ordinance was signed in 1983.
Yes.
I was one.
Yes, when I was reviewing that to draft the letter to
individuals.
May 7th, 1992. 92, so okay. So I was at least in high school.
Yeah, right.
But
I was not.
Yeah.
I was two.
So wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Max is like, I was already working here for 8 years. Max actually signed this ordinance in 1992.
There we go.
So in looking at his 10-year anniversary by then.
So in looking at these ordinances, especially the animal control, like I said, with the $3 per day lodging for animals, we need to, I think, take a look at that binder with the ordinances that we do have and start deciding, going through them, I guess, one by one, just to make sure that they are up to date, whether it is
for... We have two, like, calm down, like, one by one, like, we have two.
Is it only two? Oh, okay.
It's only two, and one of them is the...
That is the chairman of the board.
I know. I know all about it.
Max, I appreciate the help, but it's just going to hurt later.
Like, calm down. And I want to let you know that the traffic ordinance, okay, was signed about 5 months after I was born in 1979.
So June of 79?
July 5th, July, 79. Okay.
So that probably needs to be updated.
Yeah.
Probably, because what we had was, so we had an issue out on the square, and so we called Brandon, the sheriff, and he sent Doug Morell out to take a look, run some radar, try to help slow the cars down. The problem we has is that because of the ordinance, the way it's written, he can't actually write a ticket on Sheffield Square Road.
Oh, that's good to know.
Is this not the right classification of road?
Or no, like, because the speed, it's the speed situation.
So
and the animal control thing is not going to be as involved,
right,
as updating the speed ordinance, because that involves like a state study.
I was gonna say,
where they track the amount of traffic that goes up the road, mm-hmm, and like a whole thing. But like I said, there is information here, but like I said, it's 47 and a half years old.
It's older than me.
So it's
that's
not as old as me. At least Max hadn't been hired yet. He was 5 years away from being hired.
He's
like, I'm innocent.
What's the reason it can't be enforced?
Because the problem is if we didn't go through the proper procedures at that time to set a 35 mile an hour speed zone,
yeah,
right,
then there's no teeth to back up the actual speed limit sign that's up there. So what, right, we'll have to do is go through, get a traffic study, an up to date traffic study, and then determine, right, whether or not 35 is a safe speed, yada yada yada. Otherwise, in the state of Vermont, all speeds revert back to 50 miles per hour,
even if it's a dirt road.
Even
1081
Bravo.
Yeah.
So you have 23.
Or a lake. Yeah. A lake that freezes over in the wintertime becomes a state highway at 50 miles per hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
that's not fast.
That is terrifying.
It is terrifying. I mean, imagine driving up the square at 50 miles an hour or more.
I'd be Biff. I was racing Biff.
Like, there's some people that are okay with it because they drive 50 miles an hour no matter where they are. On the highway, 50 miles an hour, and you're like, we're going to die before we get there. And then you're on a back road and they're still driving 50 miles an hour and you're like, we're going to die before we get there.
I think that happens when you get your AARP card. It like just sets in and it just happens.
Come on.
It's like, man, a class I give you. So yeah, we have obviously, I try to keep the policies in here just so that makes it easy to find. But those are the only two ordinances. And to be honest with you, I don't know, because this is the 70s, I don't know if this speed ordinance was ever brought to the people.
Roger that.
Like, I would have to check, I'd have to go back to the 1979 town meeting minutes.
That's probably on microfiche.
No, it probably is. But it's definitely in the minutes book.
So what you're saying is we need to pick the ordinances out of there that are most...
Well,
there's
we only
two.
Have two.
There's only two.
Okay. We have animal control.
So let's
and
do
then,
the animal control
like,
one first.
Right. And then we have a 2-page speed ordinance.
So what we should do is just, if we get copies of those sent out to us, we can review them, and then
yeah,
maybe the next meeting we can actually set.
I think that speed is also like on a Xerox.
It looks like it. Or
no.
Xerox or Mimeo?
Typed. It's typed.
Oh, it's typed. Carbon copied?
No, just typed.
Okay. So let's at least work on the animal control next meeting.
I'll send it out.
Perfect. Like I said, I think that's mostly just going to be updating fees and ensuring that the right people are on it and anything else that we might come across.
Yeah, because like the offenses, the fees are super low, like for second, third, mm-hmm. and then like we talked about the boarding charge is $3 a day.
Yeah. That should probably be like 35 or 40.
Well, we get charged like $80 a day.
I was going to say, the pound's pretty expensive.
Wow. Yes. So in other words, there should be a cost, whatever the cost
is. Correct.
It should be at cost. I don't know if you can word it that way, so then as the cost changes, we don't have to have the town vote on this every single
year. And that's something
year.
That we can definitely go through.
Yeah,
and
whatever costs.
Right.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, whatever the going rate is.
So let me make a note of that.
Market value, right?
Yep.
Yeah, let me it's make like a lots. Note of that to send those
market
out.
Market price. why don't we...
last time we boarded a dog, how much it cost per day.
Yeah,
it was insanity, and we haven't even boarded a dog for like a decade.
And the sad part is, I think when I talked to Candace, who's our animal control officer, she said something about it being like costing $35 or $40, which must be her price versus what she charges the towns. Because we have had quite a few incidents over the last year of animals being seized. Huh. I think thankfully most of them have only been or two nights.
One was like for 6 months.
Oh, okay. That was
for real.
Was that the
for real? And our that was last year, and it blew our budget out of the water by like 500%.
That's sad.
Yeah,
it is sad.
I hate people.
Mm-hmm.
And that cost gets passed on to the owner, correct?
No.
Which is why
that's Candace's charge to us as the town. So the town gets to pay that equally in equal portions.
Shouldn't that be included in the ordinance that we can recoup the cost?
Absolutely.
And that's something that we would like to...
I like it.
So.
And there should be a timeline also.
Yeah.
The animal is, you know...
And there's usually... It's not the 6 months. Either
adopted out.
They can be adopted out or euthanized. I think it's, even by state law, it's within 30 days. So I think we should probably make sure that we mimic whatever the state law, because I wound up doing a lot more research on the topic than I really wanted to.
Because we had an issue.
In drafting said letter, and knock on wood, hopefully it worked.
Well, we haven't had a complaint lately.
But, you know, that particular family, the complaints tend to roll in like all at once for a period of about 2 months, and then... Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're not just in that lull in the cycle. And so anything else about the ordinances? We good to go with maybe working on
I'll start. I'll email them out on Friday.
Okay, perfect. The only thing I did forget about the additions, deletions, amendments, we had that ethics training that VLCT put out. I attended it, hour and a half, I won't get back. But per state law, we will all, pretty much every elected official that we have is going to have to take the ethics training. Our department heads have
department
to take
head.
The training.
He's like, what?
So,
actually, no. I don't. The class that
the
you did the other day, that's not the class.
It's through the state.
50-minute video that they
through the
about
state website. You did that one.
Yes.
You went through the state website and took the test?
I went through VLCT and took the test.
Is it a test?
Yeah.
No, I didn't take the test. I took the class.
So yeah, it's a state, it's on the Vermont Ethics Board. Well, we'll get it out to everybody.
Yeah. If you would pen an email,
because
I'm going to have to email it to every elected official.
Because that's going to be something that every elected official, department head are going to have to deal with. We are going to have to draft at the minimum a policy, if not an ordinance. I prefer a policy in how we will handle any ethics complaints, investigation through potential punishments.
Understood.
Do they have draft?
There's, yes, VLCT has, they've put together the draft stuff on it, so we can.
And it's no longer a municipal
code
of ethics. It's
a state code of ethics.
Municipal code of ethics. They've taken that over too.
Yes, Montpelier, in their ultimate wisdom, has decided that we are still incapable of doing
anything.
So, and it adds to our town clerks because they now have to keep track of everybody who has had the training.
That means everybody gets to have basically a file, and I have to keep track of all of it, because I'm not the town clerk, apparently. I'm now town HR.
So, question. Do we have an employee handbook on the employees that we have?
We have, I think, 6 employee handbooks. That is something that we need to work on.
One for every position.
Do we have an employee handbook?
No, because you're not an employee.
You're like, what I was thinking, like, you hire somebody, they read the employee handbook, they sign it, and then they're aware of the our policy.
Well, most of the employees are okay. It's going to be just the department heads.
Like, I have to take the training.
Yes.
Max has to take the training, and then every other.
Employees are controlled by your employment policy.
Yeah.
So the problem is I think pretty much every time we've hired somebody in town, it has been under a different, I don't even want to use the word contract, but a different agreement.
Yeah.
So I think we have what, 4?
Let's put it this way. Me, Felicia, Mark, and Max. Felicia and I are the only 2 that are the same.
Right.
Because we were a package deal.
I can see that, the flannel sisters.
Yes.
That was unintentional.
So Max and Mark really have different ones. And then part of that, Dennis had a different one. So, I mean, it's...
Like, Kurt had a different one than what Mark had. Like, everybody's are different. Because every time somebody got hired, there'd be the board would be like, well, we want to make sure they get this, this, and this, and not have this, this, and this.
So we would like to... That is something that we...
I would love to have one policy. We hire somebody, they sign it, it goes in their folder.
So that was kind of what, I think one of the things we were going to talk about with Max, but there's some other things that we need to go into the executive session on with that. But as far as the HR portion goes and the employee handbook, yeah, we need to modernize, have...
To be honest with you, look at Wheelock.
Yes, I was
going
to say.
Theirs is amazing.
I was going to say, you know,
and they had an attorney vet the whole thing. Like, to be honest with you, it's a great policy. We could just adopt their policy.
And I don't see a problem there. That's something, again, that we can...
Can you get a copy of it?
Yes.
I have a copy of it, because it's the policy that the transfer station
issues. Word.
So
I can... Back our way in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So basically, if we have everybody under the same policy from there, then we can develop position descriptions.
Right.
Part-time versus full-time.
And then, you know...
Understood.
Part-time, full-time, full-time, part-time, you know, so there's a lot of other things that we can work on.
There almost needs to be an employee policy, a job description for each position, and then a benefits package.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I agree.
Instead of, like, what we would do, right, and what they did in the past is they include all of that into the policy. So every time somebody got hired, the policy would change to match just the person who was getting hired. So like the pay rates in there, what they get for insurance, like everything is
that's
in one document.
For everybody.
Right.
Correct.
Right, so basically each employee file that we have has a different, what have you, package, smorgasbord package. So,
understood.
So that's something that obviously we've had some offline discussions about, but I think with everybody here with that same understanding, I think it would be great to bring us into the
kick everybody out and go to executive session.
I think we're probably about ready to go there. Do we have anything else pending before?
I would say, does the peanut gallery have anything you want to bring up?
Did you want an update from the planning commission?
Why don't we get an update from the planning commission since you are on the agenda?
Right
thank
here.
You.
Unless you want to sit out, unless you want to sit out in your car for an hour, we'll go to executive session, then we'll call you back in.
No, I'm just going to put my ear to the door.
Right.
Mine's very short. I just wanted to let you guys know, if you didn't know already, that we did have a community activity on Green Up Day at the town hall. The planning commission offered, is myself, Keith, and Bobby, Keith Ballack and Bobby Bristol. We set up a table on the front porch in the 40-degree rain and stood there for 3 hours. So that was...
At least you weren't in the rain. I was at opening ceremony in the rain.
That's wonderful.
I was at opening day baseball games in the rain. So
yeah, I was... You guys cut me off at the pass because it's like neither of you were there.
I had to get up way earlier to go to opening ceremony.
And I was up before that to go drive the other one down to Randolph.
To Randolph for AAU.
Listen to these excuses.
Oh, yes.
Anyway,
I think it would have done better probably if it wasn't raining, because I don't think a lot of people did green up because it was so cold and
cold.
Raining.
It was cold. And but no, we had 6 residents attend,
And
not including the three of you?
Correct.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. All right. So
there was really nine residents that attended.
Yes. So we actually, I mean, it was a start. It is what it is. We had no idea if people mm-hmm. were getting the communication, if people were interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this again is in line with our attempts, at the, you know, the identified need to create more of a sense of community, mm-hmm. to try to get more volunteers involved in community activities and this kind of thing. So it is, and we'll probably do it again next year.
Perfect.
And just see if we can build on that. I think at some point it would be delightful to try to understand the impact that Green Up Day has for this community, because I think it gives people incentive if they can go to a place and look and say, well, last year we collected this many mm-hmm. bags, this year we're getting this many, because I've seen right. a few other towns
right.
that have that, and they get bigger and bigger every year. So mm. that's sort of
like they tally it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Then And so.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. That's it. That's my update.
Excellent. Well, good job of that. Thank you. Sorry we did miss it.
Yes.
You know, could you do something about the weather for next year?
I'll do my best.
Okay.
I've got a word in.
Excellent.
So. And don't do it on opening day.
No, yeah.
Don't do it on opening day.
That's the green up.
It will definitely rain.
Oh, that's the green up
it's day. It's first Saturday.
Yeah,
right?
I can't.
It's the first Saturday. Saturday
that's it. That's the way it goes.
Yep. Unless Sheffield wants to have its own green up day.
We could.
We won't do that. We won't do that. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Anybody else? Anyone? Lenny, welcome.
Thank you.
Going once.
Yeah. All
right. Going twice.
So with that, I'm going to make a motion to go into executive session
at
7:00.
I'll second.